I believe there's some of you in here that have never had that experience where you've yielded to the Holy Spirit, where He's not just named the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, but He is the Spirit of God. He's the manifested presence of God. And the Bible says that in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures evermore. When the Lord touches your heart and you really know that He touches your heart, He will turn your mourning into dancing. Amen. He'll put a spring in your step. You'll have an expectation that'll rise up in your heart. And you'll know that all is well, because when you let the Spirit of the living God lead and guide and direct your life, He'll give you a life that only He could give to you. Amen. And your days of sadness and wondering where your next bit of money is going to come from or how that thing is going to turn around, that'll be over and done with. Amen. See, the Bible talks about God being the author and the finisher of our faith. And if Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith, I don't know if we've got people that can write good books, but how do you know that no matter how good that book is, it's not as good as the good book? And there's nothing in here but good news. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the heart of the Lord, is for everyone to grab hold that the very life that Jesus demonstrated in the earth is the very life that you and I ought to be crying after and seeking for and going after with all of our heart, to be like Jesus.
Amen.
That's His target for your life, is for you to be like Him. Isn't that right?
Amen.
So I believe with all my heart, if you have ears to hear tonight what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, He's going to turn you on to a new, different lifestyle than some of you have walked in or expected before, because I know what He's done in me and I know where my life has been because I yielded to the Holy Spirit. Been around the world many times because God's Word is so powerful and it's so true. Amen?
Amen.
So just tell your neighbor, we're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to have fun in the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Pastor Joel took the night off. How many of you know he deserves to do that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn together in our Bibles to John chapter 1. I've been teaching in the healing school for a number of weeks, and I've been talking about Jesus and how that people didn't really want to receive Him the way that He was around His own people, and how that was such a disappointment for Him. And I started waiting on the Lord about that, and He just shared with me to share with you tonight. He gave me two titles, so you can choose which one you like if you're taking notes tonight, okay? The first one is identification with Christ. Because our life should emulate His. Amen. Our life ought to look like Jesus' life. And in Him there is no fear. There's no doubt. There's no unbelief. There's no worry. There's no staying up at night. There's no fretting. Amen. There's no barely getting along in Jesus. So the first one is identification with Christ. And the next one, I think it just kind of meets people in the now a little bit better today. And the second one is called Rolling with the Lord.
Okay.
You take your pick. But in John chapter 1, let's take a look together. We're going to look at the life of Jesus a little bit and what He shared with us about what our life is supposed to look like. But in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men." Now, I've shared this for a lot of years, but that word light there means development. It means development. When the light of the Word comes into you, it will develop you. No matter how smart you are, you'll be smarter. No matter how sharp you are, you'll be sharper. No matter how good you know how to do this or that or the other, when the light of God comes in, you'll get better at it, because the Bible says that in Him was life and the life was the light of men. I learned that many years ago when my kids were little babies and started saying, "Thank you, Lord, that my kids are alive with the very life and nature of God in them." They have God's life in them, and that life life is the development of them. It's developing their spirit. It's developing their soul. It's quickening their mortal bodies. And that light is shining in the darkness. Therefore, all past failures and all bad habits and all sin consciousness and all the accusations of the devil cannot dominate, overcome, or overpower the life of God that is within me, because it'll never leave me. It'll never forsake me, because I am alive with the very life and nature of God. That's good stuff.
Amen.
We began to confess that over our kids when they were little, and we've seen them excel all through life, because the Bible says that in the Lord is life, and that life is the light of men. It's the development. I don't care how good of a businessman you are, you allow the life of God to dominate you by being in the Word and meditating in the Word, and you'll make more money in one day than you could in 3 years when the light bulb comes on the inside of you. Amen. The life of God is to make your life a fabulous life that other people look at and say, my gosh, my life should look like that. Amen, every one of us. So anyway, it says in here, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, or the development. The Bible says that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. It says there was a man from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe, talking about Jesus there. It says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Talking about Jesus now. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Think about that. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It says in verse 11, this is just an amazing, amazing couple of verses here. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And when we're talking about the one that came unto his own, we're talking about Jesus the Savior. We're talking about Jesus the Deliverer. We're talking about Jesus the Miracle Worker. We're talking about Jesus the Baptizer in the Holy Ghost. We're talking about Jesus our shield and bread provider and our protector. We're talking about the Son of the Living God. We're talking about the one that walked on the water. We're talking about the one that never saw a sick man that he didn't get healed. We're talking about the one that came to people whose lives were oppressed, and he set every single one of them without exception free. He came to people whose lives and homes were in a mess, and when they met up with Jesus and believed on him, he turned their whole life around. He turned their whole situation around, and life was on a new dimension because of their encounter with this Jesus. But it said he came onto his own. We're talking about Jesus here. He came onto his own, the people that he loved and cared for. He came onto his own, and the Bible says a very sad statement there. The Bible says his own received him not. They did not believe that he was who he said he was. They just kind of put it on the back burner, and they thought, well, this guy grew up around us, and he's really not that much different than we are. And they discarded the fact that they were looking at God manifested in the flesh. Think about that. Jesus came to the earth as a man, to walk on the earth as a man, to show this world what it looked like when the Word of God would go into a man and get a hold of a man's heart, and all of the ability and the creativity of God would be turned loose in the spirit of man, that God would be turned into a man filled with the Word of God. His body would be filled and flooded with light. They never seen anybody that walked and breathed and acted like Jesus before Jesus came. And that's why when they looked at him, you know what the problem was? They looked at him through natural eyes. And all they saw was the little guy that they grew up around, and they failed to realize that they were looking at God manifested in the flesh in the Word of God. But it said there, he came onto his own and they didn't receive him. And that's a sad thing, because they could have received his power. They could have received the life of God. They could have received the nature of God. They could have received the ability of God. They could have received the power of God. And they just turned their back on it and walked right away from it. A miracle life, they just turned it right down. But it says he came onto his own, and his own received him not. But verse 12 there, here's where it gets good. It says in verse 12, but as many as received him, I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. Because there's a lot of people that they receive Jesus as their Savior. They know that He'll save. But they don't receive Jesus as the miracle worker. Yeah. They don't receive Jesus as the Word of God that will revolutionize their life. Mm-hmm. But it says here, as many as received Him, as many as had an open heart to receive who Jesus was and receive the person of Christ in their life. It says, but as many as received Him, something wonderful happened. It says, to them gave He the power. I like that. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become what? Now that's worth almost getting up out of your seat and running around this church for. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Think about that. Sons and daughters that would be just like God, having God live on the inside of them. See, in the New Testament, it says that there's a lot of people that are living and walking, but it says they're walking as mere men. And even though they're born again and have the life of God on the inside of them, they don't act any different than other people do. When it says right here, when you received Him, it says, as many as received Him, it says He gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, or the flesh rather, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus here. He came in that body, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It says, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom it was spoken. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. Verse 16 says, and of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Are you born again tonight? Have you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart? Yes. Well, most of you have. No. It says here, if you were born again, if Jesus came to live inside of you, you received grace for grace. Amen. Isn't that something? Amen. What is grace? That's the ability to do what you couldn't do any other way but by the grace of God. But it doesn't stop there. You know what else it says, Doc? It says, of His fullness. Oh, man, that's worth getting excited about. It says, and of His fullness have we all received. Now, let me tell you something about the fullness of God. When the fullness of God came to live in you, I know some of you are going to look at me funny when I say this, but when the fullness of God came to live in you, you got all the love you're ever going to need. Can I keep going? When the fullness of God came to live in you, you got all the joy you're ever going to need because you received His fullness. When the peace of God came to live in you in Jesus, you got all the peace you're ever going to need. When the goodness of God came in you with Jesus, you have all the goodness you're ever going to need, and you're as good as you're ever going to get because you got the goodness of God in you. The power, do you need more power? Well, the Word says there that when Jesus came into your heart to live in there, it says you receive power to become a son of God. Amen. Can I tell you about God tonight? God's not worried. God never loses one minute of sleep because He never sleeps or slumbers. That's why I heard it years ago. They said, if God doesn't sleep or slumber, as long as He's not going to bed, why don't you just go ahead and go to bed and go to sleep and let God take care of your problem, because God is bigger than your problem. And if God is living in you, there's no reason to worry. There's no reason to fear, because God lives in there. But it says there, of His fullness have we all received. Point to yourself and say, I have received the fullness of God. All that I need and all of God in Jesus is on the inside of me. Amen. That's good stuff. But you guys know the story about Jesus. You remember when He was a little boy? I've shared this a lot of times in this sanctuary, but All the family went to Jerusalem, and they went there to have a good time, and they went into the synagogue, and they all worshiped together. And then all of a sudden, when it was done worshiping the Lord, they took off, and they went out of town, and they were a couple of days' journey out. And when they looked around for Jesus, they couldn't find him. So they said, "Where's Jesus?" They said, "I don't know. Must be back in Jerusalem." So they all went back there. They said, "We'll find that boy." So they went to the soccer field. He wasn't there. They went to the fishing hole. He wasn't there. They went to where they played stickball and kickball. He wasn't there either. Then someone said, Do you suppose he could be in the synagogue?" And they went in there, and at 12 years of age, he had all these doctors and of the letter and of the law. They were all circled around him, and they're asking this 12-year-old boy questions, and he's giving them the answer. Then he's asking them questions, and they don't have the answer to give to him. And they looked at one another, and the Bible says, as a little boy, he was so in the Word that they were astonished at this guy. And they said, "This guy, he blows our mind, this little fellow, with all the wisdom that he's walking in. 12 years of age." Well, the Bible says from that time on, he went back out with his parents, and his mom started rebuking him, and he looked at her and he said, "Mama, I know you're all bent out of shape because I wasn't with you, but you need to know that you're on one agenda." But he says, "My will is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. That's what I get turned on by, is making sure I'm in the will of God." So here's the point. At 12 years of age, he was already walking in wisdom. Now, can I say another thing? How did Jesus find out about the life that God had given to him? He found out about it in the Scriptures. Now I'm going to prove that to you real quick here. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14, if you will. Luke chapter 14. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I want you to see this for yourself, because we need to identify with Jesus. However he got that power going, that's how we need to get the power going. In Luke chapter 4, after all the temptations were given in verse 13, verse 14, the Bible says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." Verse 15, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was," in other words, he was used to doing this. This wasn't his first rodeo. "As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up for to read." Now, I know in a lot of churches that's kind of traditional, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Joe. I think it's kind of cool that in some of the churches that they have such a reverence for God's Word that when they say, "I'm going to go ahead and read the Scriptures now," and before they even say anything, every person in the church pops up on their feet. Amen. You know, you want to know why? Because this isn't just an ordinary book. There's comic books, there's science books, there's fiction books, but this is the Word of the living God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So it says here, as his custom was, the Bible says he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, on church day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And notice what happened here. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He knew the Scriptures so well, and he had been in the Word so much, that he had found his life in the Bible. He had found his calling in the Word of God. He found out how to walk in peace. He found out how to get direction. He found out how to walk in revelation. He found out how to walk in joy. He found out how to deal with problems. But more important than that, he found out about the call of God on his life and the mission that God had called him to. And I'm telling you, God is no respecter of persons. I can tell you tonight that just like Jesus found his will for his life in the Word of God, I can prove it by Scripture. In Psalm 119, the Bible says that his Word is a lamp unto your feet, and it's a light unto your path. If you want to know where you're supposed to be a year and 2 years and 5 years from now, I'm going to tell you, if you're not in the Word of God, you'll never get there. But you start getting in the Word and start reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, to teach you the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and begin to illuminate your mind, and all of a sudden your understanding will be enlightened. You'll begin to see exactly what God wants you to do. And I'll tell you, you get the Word going in there and the light begins to come, God will give you a life that you couldn't get any other way, and it'll be such a glorified life that people will look at you and say, I don't know where they got all that money. And you say, I found out how to get money in the Word of God. You say, I don't know how you got such a wonderful family. I found out how to have a good family in the Word of God. They say, how'd you get to be such a good businessman? I found out how to be a great businessman. I found it in the Word of God. How did you find out how to live strong and not be sick? I found it in the Word of God. All the answers are in there. He took that book and he found the place where it was written. I'm telling you right now that some of you just need to go ahead. If you've been discouraged or feeling down, God's got a direction for you. He's got an answer for you. He's got the peace. He's got the revelation. He's got the right thing for you in the Word of God. And if you just get in there and let the Holy Spirit lead you, He'll lead you exactly where you need to be in the Word of God. But he found the place where it was written. And this is what he stood up and said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, here's a side trip here. Some of you in here, you might be a cab driver, you might fly an airplane, you might be a lawyer, you might be a doctor, you might be a nurse, you might be a technician, you might be a school teacher, you might be an educator. But no matter what your vocational calling is, you have a higher calling than that. I said you have a higher calling than that. And if you want to add some excitement into your job place, if you want to add some excitement into your family, if you want to add some excitement into your family reunions that are coming up, just remember that the same thing that Jesus said the anointing that was upon him to do is the very same identical anointing that's upon you to do exactly what Jesus did. Someone says, well, I've never healed any sick people. Well, you have the life of God in you. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says it's no longer I that live, but Christ living his life through me. That's a life you have. He didn't give you another life. He gave you his own.
Yes.
Oh, this is good stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Now, once he found the place where it was written, let's look along a little bit further here. He says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister. And he sat down. And the eyes of all the people that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So after that day took place when he went into the synagogue and he began to proclaim, this is who I am. He found out who he was in the Word of God. He says, this is what I'm called to do. This is why the anointing of God is upon my life, and this is going to be my mission in life. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to preach deliverance to the captives. I'm going to recover the sight of the blind. I'm going to set at liberty them that are bruised. I'm going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He says, this is exactly what I'm going to do, and from now on you're going to see that life demonstrated. Then we know what happens fast forward. He began to pray, and as he did, he would begin to call out different people from all different kind of backgrounds, and he'd just get them right out of normal folk. But you know what happened? He saw something in them. And out of the multitudes, after he would pray, he would begin to call them out and say, this is why the hand of the Lord is on you. And they would say, I'm going to follow that man. And they began to just get up from what they were doing and began to follow Jesus. That's what they did.
Yes.
All right. Now, in Mark chapter 5, we don't have time to go there because of time, and time gets away from us. But in Mark chapter 5, a couple of different incidents are talked about. When he had the Spirit of God on him, he went out and began to look for people that had needs. You know, Pastor Ronnie, Pastor Joel's dad used to say, if you want to let God use you, you have to learn to walk slowly through the crowd, because there's someone at Walmart, there's someone at the gas station, there's someone that lives right next door to you that's hurting, there's someone who's going through a difficult time, there's someone that needs to be encouraged, there's someone that needs a word in due season, there's someone that needs to know that someone else cares about them. And Jesus began to demonstrate that. And when he was gathered together with a bunch of people, Jairus, who was the leader of a synagogue, came up to him and he said, you know, Lord, he says, I got a bad deal going on. He says, I got a daughter, just a young 12-year-old girl, and she's so sick, it looks like she's not going to make it. And Jesus stopped whatever he was doing and he says, well, we're going to go ahead and go that way and we're going to minister to your little daughter. We're going to get her healed. He didn't make up excuses. He didn't say, well, it's not the time of the Lord or it's not my will. No, he said, we're going to go there and get that little girl healed. And you guys know the story. As he went, he runs into this lady that had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be sick, ladies. That's a long time to have an issue of blood coming out of you. That's a long time to have to deal with all the doctors and all these old primitive type of treatments that they were getting. And the Bible says about this lady, think about that, for all these years she never gave up and she never quit. But the Bible says in spite of all the things she tried to do to get better, it says she wasn't getting better one bit. The Bible says in spite of all that, she was getting worse. Nothing was getting better, but I give her credit because she never gave up. She didn't believe what grandma tried to tell her. Come on now. She didn't believe what the doctors kept telling her, what the specialists kept telling her, what her relatives and neighbors kept. She didn't believe none of that. She just kept saying, you know what, that didn't work, but there's got to be another way. There's got to be another avenue, and I am not going to be denied. And if you'll have that dogged kind of faith where you dig your heels in and say, I'm getting my miracle. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit. But when she heard about the goodness of Jesus, and she said within herself, she kept saying it over and over again. She says, if I can just touch the hem of that man's garment. Would to God that we were so close to the Lord and walked in such an anointing that we expect that power of God to be made manifest. I know it's an old joke, David, but I never get tired of saying it. We ought to be so full of the Holy Ghost that if a mosquito bites us, it'll fly away singing, there's power in the blood. But she kept saying, if I can just get close, I'm going to get that healing. I'm going to get it. And the Bible says she pressed in behind all the crowds and she grabbed a hold of the hem of that garment. And it was her faith that Jesus said made her whole. It wasn't anything to do with Jesus. He just made himself available and he's walking through the crowd. And she grabbed the hem of his garment. And when she did, the virtue came out of him and went right into her. And the power of God gave her an absolute astounding miracle. And the Bible says the people were blown away to see what had happened. But then right after that, here Jesus is celebrating. And then one of the servants comes up and says, well, Jairus, I hate to tell you, buddy, but your daughter's dead. And so he's looking at all these people and they said, man, don't trouble the master. This poor little girl, she's already died. Jesus paid no attention to what people said. He said, come on, guys, let's go. And so they went to the house where Jairus' daughter lay in there. And the Bible says when he went in there, all the people round about, they're looking at Jesus. And they said, why is this guy here? And he said, I come to raise her up from that deathbed. And they looked at Jesus like he's some kind of a nutcase. The Bible says, and here they're looking at the Son of the Living, they're looking at Jesus, and they said, this guy, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. The Bible says they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn, and you know what he did? He said, all you people that are right here, you don't believe what's about to take place. So you know what? I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm going to ask you politely, get out of here. And he took Peter and James and John, and the Bible says, you read it yourself there. The Bible says he took those that were with him. Amen. And he's saying the same thing today. He's saying that if you'll see people that need healing and you have it in your heart to get them healed, don't try to figure out with your head. Just act like God's word is true. And when you go in there and lay hands on them, it's not up to you to get them healed anyway, because you can't heal them that, but God can. And when you begin to minister healing to the sick, the Lord will say the same thing as it said right there. The Lord will say, I'm with you. He's looking for people that'll do it. I said he's looking for people that'll act like God's word is so. The Bible says when he got all the unbelievers out of there and he had those that were with him. Are you with me tonight? Sure you are. The Bible says he took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumai, which means be healed. And he took her by the hand, and the power of God went into that little 12-year-old girl, and God raised her up off that deathbed, and she leaped up, glory be to God, and she was completely made whole, because Jesus didn't let what people thought stop him one little bit. And did you know that Jesus knew it was going to be like that? Just like in religious circles today? In Isaiah 53, you read it out of your own Bible. Before Jesus ever walked on this planet, before he took his first breath, Isaiah prophesied about him and said that he is a man that will be despised and rejected of men. Amen. He will be a man of many sorrows. And yet, in spite of that, the Bible says that Jesus was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement needful to pay for and obtain our health and healing and being set free was upon him. And the Bible says, and by his stripes we are healed tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm telling you that Jesus was not moved by any of that. Now, to fast forward, because we don't have much time, but I want you guys to see this. Let's go together to Mark chapter 6, because I can tell you in healing school, I've been preaching this from this text for weeks and weeks, and I can't get away from it. But this is right after he had raised that little girl from the dead. So now Jesus had it in his heart to go to his own hometown among his own people. Because he cared for the people that were closest to him. He cared about them. He didn't want them to stay the same. But in Mark 6 there, starting in verse 1, it says, and he went out from thence, and he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in their synagogue. And many hearing him were what? They were astonished, saying, from whence did this man get these things? Well, he got them from the Word of God. That's where he got them. And what wisdom is this which is given him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? See, they're just looking at him through natural eyes. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And not these her sisters right here, that they were offended in him? It says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. In verse 5 there, and I say this all the time, but it's a sad statement about what Jesus was able to do here. And the Bible says in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work. Didn't say that he didn't want to. Didn't say that he wasn't ready or able to. But the Bible says very plainly here, and he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching, and he called unto them the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. You look in Luke 9, and he sent out the 12. You look in Luke 10, he sent out the 70. And in both cases, he said, I want you to go out into every city where I'm going to go. I want you to go ahead of me. He says, and when you go into that city, if they receive you, bless them, get them healed, set them free. Minister to them. But if they don't receive you, he says, then wipe the dust off your feet and just get up and begin to move on. And in those texts, he said that he gave them power and authority to heal all manner of sickness and disease and to cast out devils. They had that ability to do that. And so when Jesus was beginning to raise up those round about him that would do the very works that he did, he had to show them that he himself was going to have to be willing to not be moved by what people thought of him or what their opinion was about him. He had to begin to just go out into the highways and hedges and begin to make himself available to allow the power of God to minister to the needs of people in his circles. But when I taught this the first time, and that's how it came to me, that it says he came onto his own. Just think, that's sad. He came onto the people that he loved and cared for, and he said he could there do no mighty work, except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. But in there, just think about that. Think about this. It says he could there do no what kind of a work? Jesus went among his own people. And he had it in his heart not to just do any kind of a work, but a what?
Mighty.
He wanted to go among his own people and do a mighty work. He wanted to turn that whole area upside down and show them the compassion and the mercy and the healing power of God. He wanted to demonstrate himself in a mighty way. But you know what? That mighty work that he wanted to do it right here first. See, they didn't receive him. He came onto his own. Think about that in this text of what we're. He came onto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, that's good stuff. And I'm telling you that that's what Jesus is trying to do tonight. He's trying to get an army of believers that'll rise up and say, you know what? The same thing Jesus did, we can do that too. Oh, I know there's three or four of you that are thinking, nah, we can't. Yeah, we can. Real quickly, let's turn to John chapter 14 real quick. I'm going to wind it down. It's almost time to go. Tell your neighbor, be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
Exit time is nearly here. Amen. John chapter 14. You're going to like this one. Verse 12, Jesus said, verily, verily, he says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But there he makes it real plain. He said, you guys just need to know that I've said that the very works that I do, you're going to do also. Now, here's where I'm going to give you a little connector here. Jesus said, the works that I do, okay? The very works that Jesus said I do, he opened blind eyes, right? Deaf ears came on stop. He raised the dead. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed. He did all kinds. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. And even greater works than these. He says, because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, here's where it gets good. This is how the Lord gave it to me. When you walk into a hamburger place, okay, and for the same money, you just get a burger, and that's all you get. No cheese, no lettuce, no tomatoes, no mayonnaise, no mustard, nothing. Just a plain burger. Or you can walk in there and they say, what kind of a burger do you want? You say, well, you know what? I want a burger with the works. Oh, you'll get that on the way home. Or if you go to a pizza place and they got a buffet and they got all different kinds of pizza, you know, Nikki, my wife, she can tell you, I like the one where I call it like the kitchen drainer. It's like they take everything in the, you know. Well, I'm, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like it. I mean, you know, it's got the little whatever, you know. I mean, it's got the shredded, anyway. It looks like that. But in my brain, I'm thinking like this. Look, if that pizza's there, and this one over here, and I mean, cheese pizza's all right. But if they got one over here, and it's got mushrooms on it, and it's got, you know, it's got, I know these kids, it's got tomatoes on it, it's loaded up with lettuce, it's got some enchiladas, it's got some hot sauce. I mean, it's got what on it? Come on, help me. It's the works. It's got the works. That's the kind I want. I want to get me a pizza that's got the works. And the Lord said, you need to know that I've given you the works. Why? So you can do the works. Oh, hallelujah. That was worth the trip to church tonight. And then, you know, this is so cool. Can we have a little fun before we leave? Can I have 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, that's 5, 10, 15, 20. No. We were looking at Psalm 23 because, once again, if you get in the Word, the Bible talks about the fact that you can sit down at the table right in the presence of the enemy and you can eat real good, right? Let's turn to Psalm 23. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to end with this. And as you're turning to Psalm 23, say this with me. If I am, says I am, then I am. If I am, says I can, then I can. Where I am, says I can go, I can go. What I am, says I can do, I can do. You believe that? Amen. It's the truth. Now, this is what's really cool. You know, I pastored before, and I've been on staff a long time here as an associate, so I did it backwards. But we were into Psalm 23, and I was talking about the fact that we don't use Elizabeth in English, right? Like, if I wanted to talk to Gene, I wouldn't say, Gene, come on in my office. I go, yay, yay, look at that Bible verse. Yay, that, you know, yay, are you going to lunch? That, no, we don't talk like that. But the Lord is so cool. Watch this now. In the shepherd psalm, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So when I was sharing Psalm 23, in relationship to sitting down at the table and just finding out my call and the anointing and the things that belong to me and the Lord and the things that I can do. And Tommy was in there, and I said, it'd be crazy for me to call Tommy into my office and say, yeah, 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 Tommy. No. Well, I went back to this verse 4 here. And when I looked at it, I saw this verse here. And I know a lot of you know, we all love Psalm 23, right? But he gave it to me in a way I had never seen it before. I said, isn't it just like the Lord? Isn't it just like our Jesus that he's our shield and our bread provider and our protector? He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. He's El Shaddai, the God that's our Jesus. That's our shepherd. But it says here in verse 4, and this is the way he brought it to me, right in the middle of Psalm 23 is the word, yay! And so when I'm teaching, I said, let's just act like God's word is true. So I said, let me go back to Psalm 23 and let's read it like this. Watch, you guys are going to have fun now. When I hold my hand up, can you say yay with me? Yeah. All right. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yay.
Come on, act like you believe that. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yay.
Glory to God. I shall not want.
Yay.
Glory to God. See, isn't that good? So I just went right down through Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
Yay!
He restores my soul. You'll never see Psalm 23 ever. I said, isn't that just like our Lord to put a yay right in the middle of Psalm 23? Now, you say, well, what in the world did that have to do with, you know, our identification? What's that have to do with we're rolling with Jesus? I'm glad you asked that. Because in Mark 16, 15 through 20, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Yay! Glory to God. In my name, you'll cast out devils.
Yay!
You'll speak with new tongues.
Yay!
Now, watch this. Now, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Yay!
Oh, you guys are getting it. Amen. Let's stand up together. Amen. I preach me happy. But what does he want? He wants us to identify with the fact that he wants us out there in life and making our spirits available to God so he can do his thing among people. And I'll tell you what, when we make ourselves available, that's what I like about T.L. Osborne. He said years ago, we have the easy part. We make our spirit, this vessel, available to God. And we do that, and God supplies all the power. He supplies all the anointing. He supplies all the miracle power. We just make ourselves available to him. Can you do that tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Well, according to your faith, then be it on you. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for every person under the sound of our voice tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that all these precious ones that are here came here, Father, because they desire to know you in a new way, Father. And I believe with all my heart that the same way that you were raised up by the Father and the same way you were sent to the earth by the Father to be the Word of God in manifestation in the flesh, that, Father, you called out men and women in your day. You called them out that would follow Jesus and act like His Word was true. And as they went out, Lord, we know from the book of Acts that the Bible says, so then they went everywhere preaching the Word. And we know, Lord God, that you stretched forth your hand and that by the lives of the disciples that they yield themselves to you, that you stretched forth your hand and mighty signs and wonders were wrought through the name of your holy child, Jesus. And we know that in the book of Acts that as the Word of God mightily grew and prevailed, that, Father God, lives were changed, cities were changed, families were changed, marriages were changed, businesses were changed because of what Jesus did. And Lord, I know that the same way that Jesus came to change this world, that, Lord, you've called those that are here right now tonight to make a major difference in their family, in their home, in their relationships, in their businesses. I know that with all my heart. But Lord, there might be some that are here and they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life. And even as we started tonight, Father, you said that he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, and nobody's looking around, this is not a time to embarrass you, but it's just a time to make sure you have an opportunity to receive this life of God and let God get involved in your family. Let God get involved in your life and he'll help you like you can't even imagine if you just let him in. He'll give you the power to be just like him and he'll bless your life from this time on. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you say, that's me, I haven't received him. I've known about him, but I just don't know him. And if I died right now, I don't know for sure that I would go to be with the Lord, but I want to make sure that I know. I want to make sure when I leave here tonight that I'm right with God. If that's you, I want you to just on the count of three, just slip your hand up. 1, 2, 3. Slip it up if that's you. Praise God. Thank you for being obedient. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you for that hand back there. Anybody else? All right, well, let's just pray this prayer together. Just say, dear God in heaven, I thank you tonight for Jesus, the one and only Son of the living God that loved me and gave himself for me. And Jesus, my heart is wide open to you. I want you to do in me your perfect will. I want you, Jesus, to have your way in my heart and in my life. I believe you're a miracle-working God who changes not. And when I have an opportunity to show your passion and your compassion, I'll do it. And I'll let you do your work as I yield myself. I believe I will see the goodness of God, the miracle power of my Lord in operation. I believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just give him one more praise tonight before we go. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And if you need prayer for anything at all, feel free to come on down and have a great night and a great week. We love you and you're dismissed.